Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena to Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. Good morning, mate.
Morena, Johnny, and congratulations on the last day, and I hope you're having some good celebrations.
Yeah, cheers, dude. Cheers, dude. Now, this morning we're chatting about Jacinda Ardern. Her new book, In Her Own Words, has just been freshly released, a new memoir from her. Have you dug into it?
I have. It came out not yesterday, the day before, and I've been listening to the audio book version of it. So that's Jacinda herself reading the book for 12 hours. And haven't quite finished, but I've been reading some of the extracts and lots of reviews. And, you know, this is pretty big. You know, Ardern was a huge kind of landmark leader for us in the country through some very, you know, full-on times. And so, you know, she's produced something here that's it's a bit of a landmark memoir of what went on or what led to her 5 years in power and what she did. So, you know, this is going to be a big seller around the world, and it's going to reignite some of those debates about some of the more contentious things. But
what are some of the major revelations or personal reflections in Jacinda's memoir that stand out?
I don't really think it does have any sort of hard-hitting parts like that. It's not meant as kind of a tell-all revelation of her time in power. It's more subtle than that. It's a story, and it's quite a beautiful story, just telling her rise from, you know, the days in Te Araha and various small towns in the North Island to, you know, the world stage. You know, this, and it kind of is very personal, very reflective, and she tells the stories really well. She's a good storyteller, but it doesn't really have that warts and all sort of sense of, you know, this is what really happened. So, you know, if anyone's looking for a kind of a sensational sort of read, this won't be for them. If they want to get to know Jacinda, it's for them. So I don't think anyone that's not a fan of hers will, you know, come away particularly sort of a changed mind. But and likewise, those fans won't be kind of disappointed. But it does give a great insight into, you know, what she was about, what was her worldview, and yeah, I mean, it does still paint a picture for, you know, some of the decision making behind the scenes and how she came up with some of her phrases, you know, let's do this, they are us, things like that, and you get a bit more sense of the colour of those things.
Any omissions or topics that you were surprised she didn't address in more detail?
Oh, definitely topics that are disappointing by the omissions. She doesn't really cover some of the more contentious stuff under her her leadership. So if you're looking for reflections on, I don't know, the decisions on not to go with a capital gains tax, or just things around Three Waters, or some of the problems that the government had of actually kind of making progress on child poverty or inequality or anything like that, you won't find it.
Yes.
So I don't think she's particularly reflective on, you know, I don't know, the decline or some of the problems that her government faced. And so particularly if you're coming at this from sort of the left and wanting to know why her government didn't do more or why it wasn't transformational enough, you won't get a lot of reflection from Ardern on this.
All right. Interesting, interesting. Now, on to changes that the government is making to WorkSafe. Can you give us a bit of background on what's happening here and what's the rationale for reforming WorkSafe?
Yeah, so the government announced through the Minister of employment and work safety, Brook Van Velden, this week that WorkSafe, which is the government agency that regulates health and safety, has been given some new directives. It's being reformed. And so health and safety legislations or rules, you know, have kind of been quite a increasingly divisive thing around the world, but also especially in New Zealand, with it depends on where you come at it from. There's a lot of people that feel that the health and safety rules are too rigid. They lead to lots of ridiculous kind of unintended consequences, and farmers can't do what they want to do, and there's all sorts of, you know, training days and so forth at work. And so people feel that it needs a bit more of a refocusing. So that's what's happening here with the government. They're saying we want WorkSafe to be less about policing and less of a scary kind of regulator that people are afraid of, and more of a helping hand, more of giving guidance to, you know, to workplaces about avoiding deaths and mayhem and so forth. And so, they're bringing in some sort of gimmicks like this this phone line for reporting on too many road cones and things like that. But the critics are saying, well, this is kind of gutting some of the infrastructure that keeps people safe. And so you're turning what is a watchdog and a policing outfit into a bit of a puppy that are going to not keep workplaces safe. Already New Zealand has, you know, a very bad record in terms of workplace deaths and injuries, much worse than, you know, comparable countries like Australia or the UK. There's been reports that show where we have, you know, 500% more sort of injuries than in proportionally to somewhere like UK. And that, we actually need to tighten up some of these rules rather than loosen them. And so critics say that it's things like what happened at Pike River Mine, where you remember back about 14 years ago, we had all those dozens or 20-something deaths because there wasn't enough WorkSafe, you know, sort of safety. And so people were saying that, well, this will lead to more of that sort of things if WorkSafe is suddenly more about just being a helping hand than actually cracking down.
What's the political context behind this move? Do you think there's been pressure from specific industries or lobby groups pushing for looser regulations?
Yeah. Look, business in general have been lobbying for things to be loosened up for quite a while. And, I mean, on the face of it, they might be right. I think we can all look at, you know, we've all come across some health and safety things that have been a bit bizarre, a bit over the top, a bit crazy. And so they've wanted to, you know, get rid of that. And, you know, but it's just a question of whether we're going to end up with, in doing that, we're going to end up with just a kind of Wild West situation where anything goes.
Am I right in assuming that the government has come out with a line emphasising worker responsibility as opposed to holding employers more accountable for workplace safety? I mean, what are the risks of this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I said those exact words, but yeah, something like that. They want to give, you know, a bit more individual responsibility and so forth. And, you know, meanwhile, they've actually cut the funding for WorkSafe as well. So, you know, we already don't, you know, we have very low levels of inspectors that actually are able to go and police these things. So it's going to become worse. So, yep, I think you're absolutely right that the onus is going to be more on the actual workers and the employers to self-regulate, if you like. We're seeing, I think, even a lot of lawyers and kind of specialists in this area coming out and saying, whoa, this is setting up, you know, a conflict of interest, really, because the employers don't really necessarily have, an interest so much in bolstering health and safety, and
yes.
sometimes they want to cut the costs and so forth.
Mm.
So, yeah, so trade unions also are saying, well, this is the wrong way to go.
Yes.
So it could be a disaster, but it could also be popular, of course, if suddenly employers and WorkSafe kind of have a more common sense approach to these things rather than a rigid approach. We'll see.
Has there been any sort of precedent in New Zealand or overseas for scaling back regulatory enforcement in high-risk sectors? And what were the outcomes? It just kind of seems a bit...
We did see some of these changes in the late 80s and early 90s in New Zealand, and that's what some critics say led to that.
Some of these...
Things like Pipe River.
Yeah.
Just generally when you deregulate and produce less rules, there's always a chance that disaster is going to come about. It's kind of a classic left-right thing where, you know, the left want a bit more enforcement and a bit more sort of rules to make sure all workers are safe, and the right want a bit more laissez-faire, more sort of let's have a bit of personal responsibility here. And so, sometimes that might work out, but often it doesn't.
Yes. Interesting. Now, hey, Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. Really have appreciated your contribution on the show. And I'm sure someone will be FM will be in touch.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to your successor.
Cheers, mate. All right, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.